Matthew chapter 1, turn there please, in Matthew chapter 1. Boy, that praise team did a good job, didn't they?
Amen.
I'm telling you, praise the Lord, that's all right. I really enjoy them, and that comes straight from their heart. Now, if you haven't already, the junior church in Little Jules was dismissed. I didn't say it, but I'm sure you've seen them heading out. Well, I'm going to read it in a few minutes. You know, we're coming into into Advent month, and we're thinking of Christmas. And, you know, when you think about Christmas, for those of us, I'm sure, that are here, and I believe most people in society, I've made it a point of late, and again, I don't think everybody that says Happy Holidays necessarily means it as a slight. I think a lot of people just kind of lump everything together. But I've made it a point lately to say Merry Christmas to cashiers and things like that. And I don't know of a time when they don't look at me and get a smile on their face because I say Merry Christmas. And in every instance, they've looked back at me and said, Merry Christmas. Every instance. I think most people realize what it's all about. Now, some people don't acknowledge it the way they should, but, you know, this is about something much bigger than we are. And, you know, the most important birth that ever happened for all time. And the passage that I'll read in a minute, it's one of the most recognizable passages. But I want to talk about names today, and you'll see why when I read the passage here momentarily. But, you know, when you think about names, I wrote some names down that I think most of us would recognize, maybe a few of us that are younger, well, a few of you that are younger, I should say, may not recognize. Christopher Columbus, now I didn't know him personally, but when you hear the name Christopher Columbus, what do you think of? You think of, you know, the discoverer of America. That's what you think. He was an explorer. And so that's what you would think. When you hear the name Alexander the Great, if you know any history at all, you know that he was one of the greatest generals that ever lived, conquered almost all of the known world at that time. I mean, he was a very successful general. When you hear the name Caesar, well, that, you know, almost anyone can recognize that name. That was a man, but then it kind of carried on as a title. He was a great, he was a ruler anyway. When you hear the name Michelangelo, you would think of a great artist. Think about this. When you hear the name George Washington, you may think of the first president of the United States of America. But do you ever think about, I remember when I was a child, and I don't know if they teach this anymore, but when I was a child, you always associated honesty with George Washington. Remember that? Because he was the guy who chopped down the cherry tree, remember? And when he was asked, he said, I cannot tell a lie. It was I. I don't know if he said it like that. When you hear the name Albert Einstein, you'll think of a genius. When you hear the name Adolf Hitler, you would think of a murderer. Some biblical names that you may recognize if you're a Bible reader. You recognize the name of Thomas by his nickname. We know Thomas as his nickname, and that is what? He's the doubter. He's doubting Thomas. You would recognize Peter as the guy that speaks up a lot. Peter was kind of forward in his thinking, perhaps, and he followed it up by his actions. He was sort of impulsive. And you would recognize Peter that way. If I said to you the name Judas, you would think of a betrayer. And certainly, there's not many people that I've ever met, don't know if I've ever met anyone named Judas. But there is one name that rises above all the names that history can put on the horizon. There is one name that is more powerful and really more recognizable than all of those names combined. As those names are faded in the annals of history and as they begin to lessen in importance as time goes by, there is one name that still rises above all the names that has ever been named, and it is the name in this passage that I want to read to you. Beginning in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I was thinking, can you imagine, you know, there's a lot of pressure when parents, especially new parents, that first child is always, that's always a lot of pressure. You don't have any idea what to expect as parents. The mother doesn't know what to expect in the process of delivery. I mean, you can read about it, you can see it in a video or whatever, but to actually go through it, the mother doesn't realize what she's going to feel. The father doesn't realize the pressure that will be on him. The parents, as a couple, they have no idea, but it's exciting and it's scary, and there's apprehension about it, and there's all of that all rolled into one. But can you imagine Joseph and Mary as they were told that they were not just going to bring a child into the world? No, they were going to bring the very one that would be the Savior of the world. No pressure, right? No pressure. Now, think about this too. Now, naming a child is always an exciting time, right? In our own family, Angie and John, they're expecting their second child. And so, invariably, almost every time we get together, they start bouncing names off. What do you think of this? Well, John likes a name or two. Angie likes a name or two. And my wife and I are in the middle. But it's exciting, isn't it, to think about what you might name your child. I mean, this is going to be the name that they carry for the rest of their lives. And so you want to name them properly. You want to give them a name that stands for something. And you want them to live up to the name that you will give them. But the name of Jesus was not a name that Mary and Joseph had the freedom to sit around and say, what should we name him, Mary? Well, I don't know, Joseph, what do you think? I mean, they didn't have that ability or that freedom, we might say, to do that, because the name of Jesus is a name that God himself told them. Listen, somewhere in before the foundation of the world, God knew that he would send his only begotten son into this world, and that son would carry the name of Jesus. God told them, you will call him Jesus. Now, I got to tell you, the name of Jesus is in itself, and now it means much more. But then it was more of a common name. As a matter of fact, Joshua is the Hebrew of Jesus. They sort of mean the same thing. And so, you know, this name Jesus may have been common at that time. But I want to tell you something. The name of Jesus now is anything but common. Amen? The name of Jesus now means something far greater, because I want to tell you, anything that Jesus touches, he makes it better. Anything that Jesus comes in contact with all of a sudden holds a much far greater significance. And now the name of Jesus is not just any name. It is the name of the one that will save us from our sins. The name of Jesus. You know, I don't think anybody ought to name their child Jesus, do you? Now, I don't know of anybody, but I remember not too long ago, there was a court hearing going on, or some sort of thing going on, where the mother named her child Messiah. Now, I don't know that. To me, I don't get it. I mean, why would you want your child to go through life and say, you know, where's Messiah? Oh, he's coming. Get it? You'll get that later. Why would you want your child to be called Messiah? Why would you want your child to be called Jesus? Now, I know, you know, Hispanics, I think there's a take on that name, Jesus. But I mean, the name of Jesus is a name that is above all names. Amen? And it is a name that came directly from God. Secondly, it is a name that was obediently followed by Joseph and Mary and given to their firstborn son, whom Joseph had not known until after his birth. The Bible is very explicit about that. It tells us in verse 25, and who knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And so they had to obey. There was obedience on their part. They listened to what the name that God wanted, and they gave him the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 2 also verifies the fact that at the age of 8 days old, they took him to the temple, and they went through a very important ceremony called the circumcision ceremony. And there they make it official that his name is Jesus. Now you got to know something. It wasn't that Mary and Joseph's name was, you know, Mary and Joseph Christ. That's not what that second title means, you see. For, you know what makes the first name so important? The second title. You see, it wasn't that his name, he would, you know, if he had the ability or had the wherewithal at that time where they had checking accounts, that he would sign his name Jesus Christ. That wasn't his last name, as my last name is Crouch. You see, that is a title. And that title means very simply that he is Messiah. And so because he is Messiah, because he is, and remember when Jesus asked Peter, he said, whom do men say that I am? And they begin to say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're another prophet, some say you're Jeremiah. But he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. The Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. And because he is the Christ, the name of Jesus is above every other name. That name, there's something about that name. He is the Christ. That is also verbalized or written down, I should say, in verse 16 of the same chapter of Matthew that we read. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born Jesus, who is called Christ. You see, that is a title that very simply means he is Messiah. Think about that name. Think about the name of Jesus. I think about, first of all, what it says, and I think about what that name entitles us to, what that name means to us in a spiritual and a physical way. The first and foremost thing that that name means, and this is most important, and get this, that name means that it is through that name. And the Bible tells us there in verse 21, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The most important thing that the name of Jesus denotes is that he saves us. Get this now, from our sins. Amen. See, Moses can bring the law. Amen. Daniel can tame the lions. The three Hebrews can withstand the flames. David can slay the giants. Elijah can call the fire. Solomon can spout the wisdom. But there's only one that is able to transform your life and save you from your sins, and that is the name of Jesus. There's only one, and I want to tell you, there's a lot of folks that would like to be saved from the penalty of sin. There's a lot of folks that would want to be saved from the pain of sin, but I want to tell you, it starts first and foremost that he saves us from our sins. Did you get that? Oh, that's good preaching, because I want to tell you what it means is this: when you get saved, you get changed. You come out of the old life. Remember what he told the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He saves you from your sins. First and foremost, there's a lot of folks who want to be saved from the penalty and don't want to suffer the pain, but they don't want to come out of their sin. Amen. But that's not what he does. First and foremost, he saves you from your sin. And then all the other things happen. You know what else we do in his name? Secondly, what I'm doing right now, we preach in his name. We preach in the name of Jesus. Man, if I want to stand up here and preach in my name, it's not going to go very far. If I want to pull somebody else up from the annals of history and talk about them, it's going to be kind of dead. But I'm going to tell you, there's power when a preacher preaches in the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples, he said, and that repentance in Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We preach in the name of Jesus. Amen. It was in the name of Jesus on Pentecost that Peter stood up. And after he explained to them, boys, we're not drunk on new wine. We got the Holy Ghost. And then he began to talk about a man named Jesus of Nazareth, whom they slew, whom God raised up, and whom God has set above all people. And it's in his name. Amen. It was in Jesus' name that Paul said to the Corinthians, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we preach in his name. And because we preach in his name, men and women can be saved. We baptize in his name, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We pray in his name. Amen? Amen? We pray in his name. Jesus said in John 14:13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'm going to tell you, there's people today that will stand up in public venues and they will pray prayers to whatever entity might be present. You think I'm kidding you? I'm not. There's people that will do that. They'll pray prayers to whatever spirit or entity might be present. They'll pick a generic God. They'll pray. They might call out to Muhammad, but there's a lot of venues today in this world who do not want us to call out the name of Jesus. Isn't it refreshing when you see people in a public venue and they pray and they say, in the name of Jesus. I think you've missed out when you don't pray in his name. We pray in his name. People are healed in his name. You believe that? Hey, listen, let me give you an example. You remember when Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray about the ninth hour, it said in Acts chapter 3? It says this in verse 16. It said, and this fellow was looking on Peter and John. He was this lame man was sitting at the gate called Beautiful, and he was looking for handouts. You know, people he couldn't make a living, so he was taking donations from people. And he's sitting there, and Peter and John come walking up, and he's looking on Peter, and it says he's looking on him expecting to receive something. But Peter looks at him, and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I'll give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And I want to tell you how that man got up, and he began to shout, and he went to church. Hallelujah. In his name. A little bit later, they call the disciples in. The Pharisees did. They got all upset because somebody got healed. Devil don't like it when people get saved. Somebody got healed, and the Pharisees are questioning them, saying, well, how did this man get healed? What happened? How did this happen? And Peter said this in verse 16, Acts chapter 3. He said, it is through the name of Jesus that you see this man get up and walk. Listen, when folks come to the church and the elders and they say, we want to be anointed and prayed for, we've got the oil. But folks, that's just some good smelling oil. That's all it is. Got a little herbs and frankincense and stuff in there. It smells pretty good. But you know what? It's not in the oil. Amen. It's not within me
to heal anybody. It's not within the elders to gather around somebody who's hurting and somebody who needs a touch and heal them. It's not in us to do that. As a matter of fact, I don't see anywhere in the Word of God where God gives one man the ability now to go out and heal everybody. I don't see that. But he says, if there's somebody that is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint them all. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Let me tell you, it's not in the oil. It's not in the hand. But it is in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God is able in the name of Jesus.
I know some of you look at me like I'm crazy. Some of you, you know, you come from the most traditional quiet churches and you're going, man, what's this guy so excited about, Jesus? Amen. There's going to be some people excited today about a number two named Johnny Manziel. Hey, and they'll go down there and dress like dogs and throw dog bones and shout, whoop, whoop, whoop. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather say glory. Yeah. We got something better. Yeah. People don't think they're crazy, don't think we are. Hey, listen, there's healing in the name of Jesus. You know what else? Sometimes you suffer for his name. You know, the disciples in Acts, they were commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. They were told, we do not want you to preach in his name anymore. And you know what they did? Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And they went out and they preached anyway. And people was getting saved. And the devil was getting mad. And you know what? Sometimes we'll suffer for his name. Sometimes we'll be looked over. Sometimes we'll be ridiculed. Sometimes we'll be put down. Sometimes it's hard when that crowd you used to run with, when Jesus saved you from your sins, they call you, hey man, you want to get together? You say no. You know why? Because I'm saved now. Oh, come on. A few of you believe that. You don't do those things anymore. Right? Sometimes you're going to be ridiculed. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather suffer a little bit now with Jesus and reign in glory. Amen. There's pleasure in sin for a season. It comes to a screeching halt. Guess what? They not only suffered a little, they didn't just get verbally suffered. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, you know what it says? It says, they went out and preached in Jesus' name. They brought them back to the Sanhedrin council. And they said, we told you not to do that. You know what they did? They beat them in Acts chapter 5. They whooped them. And you know what they did? It's in verse 41. They went back. They whooped them, beat them, told them not to. And they went back to the church. And they got on their knees in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And it says this, they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Amen. When's the last time you thank God that you got ridiculed a little bit for the name of Jesus? When's the last time you got on your knees and thanked God that somebody looked at you kind of funny because you spoke the name of Jesus? We ought to. We had to carry that name. They rejoiced. Let me give you one more on this and I'm going to move on. I'm going to get to my last part of this message. I want you to know something today and I want you to hear this. That every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Do you know that? Hey, I know that because the Bible tells me that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, that tells me that everybody at one time or another is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, here's the kicker. Here's what you got to understand. You got time to do it now. But if you don't do it now, when you do it and you stand before God, it'll be in judgment and not in mercy. Right? Every knee will bow to that name. That means Stalin. That means Khrushchev. That means Ronald Reagan. That means the Bushes. That means the Obamas. That means everybody you could possibly think of, big, small, in between, all of us will confess him either here or there. Think about this. You're all right. Think about the songwriters from Job chapter. You know, from the earliest recorded singing. There's not a recorded song, but in Job chapter 38 and verse 7, God is telling Job how he set the foundations of the world. And he says this, and on that day, when the sons of the morning stars, when the morning stars sang at the creation of the universe, the angels sang to the first recorded song. And no, it wasn't Elvis Presley. It was Exodus chapter 15, when Moses brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea on dry ground, and they sang a song. It is recorded in the Word of God, a song. People have been trying to capture the name and the power of what God can do. Think about this just for a moment. Let me give you a few of these songs. I'd rather have Jesus. Amen? Think about this. Fernando Ortega's got a song, and I'm going to sing it to close this service in just a moment. We won't have an invitation now. I'm going to sing it. He says, give me Jesus. I'll sing that for you in a minute. Think about the theologically correct song, but we just relegate it to our children. Jesus loves me, this I know. Oh, that's good stuff. That's good singing. Think about this. Jesus loves the little children. How about this one? What a friend we have in Jesus. How about this? My Jesus, I love thee. Amen. What about this? Lord, now I don't say his name, but indirectly, what is it talking about? Lord, I lift your name on high. Who are we talking about, church? Amen. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. Oh, how I love. Amen. Jesus, name above all names. Folks, listen, there's something about that name. And songwriters have been trying to capture it. Singers have been trying to sing it. Preachers have been trying to preach it. Teachers have been trying to teach it. But we'll never get the tale told. There's just too much in the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. Something about that name. When you love him, I guess, well, I know it's easy to write songs. And when you love him, it's easy to sing songs about him. And when you love him, you want to carry that name. You see, we are called Christians. And those of us that believe on the name of Jesus, we are called Christians. And I want you to understand something. That name was a derogatory term given to those who followed Christ in the early church. That was not a flattery that was leveled on them. It was given, and here's what it means. It means little Christ or Christ-like ones. Amen. That's what I want to be. They were first called Christians in Antioch, and it was a derogatory term to say that they were followers of this Christ. I say, hallelujah, we are Christians. Let us wear the name, let us stand for the name, and let us bear the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. Listen, in closing, I want to read something by one of the most greatest orators, preachers that ever lived. His name is S.M. Lockridge. He's a black preacher, and you may recall that we play a DVD about Sundays are coming. S.M. Lockridge is one of the greatest orators I believe I've ever heard speak. He preached this, and I'm going to give him credit. It's not my words, it's his. And in closing, I'm going to read this, and I want to give him credit, but I will in no way, shape, or form be able to match him in his power and oratory skill to say this. God named his son with a name, and it cannot be duplicated. It cannot be erased. It cannot be defeated. It cannot be forgotten, nor can it be ignored. The name of Jesus cannot be duplicated because you see, Jesus is the pearl from paradise, the gem from glory. He's truth's fairest jewel. He's time's choicest theme. He's life's strongest chord, life's clearest ray. He's purity's highest peak. He is joy's deepest eternity. Cherish his name and you'll see a rainbow in every cloud. Pray in His name, and the gates of impossibility will swing open and bid you enter. Stand in His name, and the hounds of hell that dog your footsteps will bow down at your feet. There is power in that name. That name cannot be duplicated. Other men have come and other men have gone. Other names have flung open the out upon the horizon of time, but the name of Jesus lives on. Because it is a living name. It is a durable name. Because it is an eternal name. Because it is the name of God's only begotten Son. The cross couldn't kill it. The grave couldn't keep it. And Satan cannot defeat it. There is no way you can erase His name. For you see, if you tried, you'd have to pull up all the lilies of the valley. For He said, I'm the lily of the valley. You'd have to cut down all the vines because He said, I am the true vine. You'd have to stop eating bread because He said, I am the bread of life. You'd have to destroy all the rocks because He is the rock of ages. You'd have to cut down all the trees because He's the tree of life. You'd have to put the sun out of existence because He still exists as the Son of righteousness with healings in His wings. You'd have to remove every door because He's the door through which every man must enter to be saved. You'd have to kill every choir member. You'd have to tear up every songbook. You'd have to burn every Bible made in the last 1900 years. And after you've done all this, along comes some little holy saints, and you'd hear them sing, there's a name I love to hear. I love to sing His worth. It sounds like music to my ear. It is the sweetest name on earth. It is. The name of Jesus. Society may try to remove His name from every building, holiday, and legal document. Nations will come and nations will go. Regimes will rise and fall, yet the name of Jesus will march on through time as the Savior of man, the King of kings, and His kingdom will not fall, but expand as He heals the hurts of man. Amen. Do you understand the name of Jesus? He shall save His people from their sins. I want you to stand. I want to sing this song. If you know this song, you'll probably know it once I start. We're going to do it without music. But before I start singing, I want to extend an invitation to you. That if you do not know Christ, if you've never believed on the name of Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter 16 when the Philippian jailer got all out of sorts because God sent a earthquake and everybody in the prison, their stocks fell off. That prison guard comes in. He's ready to kill himself. Paul says, do yourself no harm. You know what that prison guard asked Paul? He said, what must I do to be saved? You know what Paul's answer was? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Can I say it any plainer? If you don't know Christ, come to know Him. As I sing, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. When I am alone, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, you can have, come on, all this world. Give me Jesus. Listen to this now. Come and pray. When I come down to die, when I come down to die, when I come down to die, give me Jesus. Sing it now. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Again, you can have all this world. You can have all this world. But give me Jesus.